You'd like to turn with me this morning in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We'll be continuing on with our theme for December, where each of the four preachers will be looking at the birth of Christ, a different aspect of the birth of Christ. Last week, Pastor looked at the innkeeper. This week, we'll be looking at the angels. And stay tuned to find out who else we'll be looking at next week and the one after. We're going to read this morning from Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the sacred word of God, the Holy Scriptures, the wonderful words of life. We thank you, the psalmist wrote, that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Lord, it's such a responsibility to proclaim the word of God. We pray that your Holy Spirit would work in this meeting this morning, that a true picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Most High God would be set forth before our eyes in this place. Lord, we pray that you would take your word, that you would work in hearts, that you would work in minds to the transforming of ourselves for the glory of God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We see in this account that, first of all, the angel of the Lord appears. When we look at the angel of the Lord, or the term the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, just about without exception, I believe it's talking about a pre-incarnate, or it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ before the people. We see here the angel of the Lord comes and he says, Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. It's interesting that he talks about joy to the whole world, joy to the world. We hear the hymn usually at Christmas time, usually only at Christmas time. We could sing it all year, really. There's no reason why not. But if we turn over to 1 Timothy and chapter 4, keeping in mind good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. 1 Timothy 4 and reading verse 9 and 10, we read there, This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, for therefore we both labour and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, especially of those that believe. Interesting verse 10, tells us that God is the Saviour of all men, but especially of those who believe. I thought, as I was reading a commentary by Adam Clark, that he put it better than I could. So he said, with regards to who is the Saviour of all men, who has provided salvation for the whole human race and has freely offered it to them in his word and by his spirit. I say amen to that. And then he says, especially of those that believe, what God intends for all, he actually gives to them that believe in Christ, who died for the sins of the world and tasted death for every man, as the scripture also tells us, as all have been purchased by his blood, so all may believe. And consequently, all may be saved. Those that perish, perish through their own fault. And you know, every single person who's ever gone to hell or will, which is the punishment, clearly laid out in the scriptures for those who reject the gift of salvation that Christ offered when he died on the cross and rose again for our sin, it's our choice. It's your choice here today if you've never made it. So we see that in line with what the angel said, that Jesus is the Saviour of all men, and that's the reason why the angel of the Lord said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Christ died for all, but not all will be saved, because not all will believe. But it was a message of salvation that the angel brought. And then we see a bit further on, after the angel spoken to the shepherds, in verse 14 of our text in Luke chapter 2, in verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Surely it was a time of peace, thinking that the Saviour of men was manifest in the flesh. What a wonderful point in history. When you think of all the time before, since the fall of man, that had passed with no hope, and now God manifest in the flesh to be the Saviour of all mankind. No wonder the angels, no wonder the host of heaven was joining together with the angel of the Lord to shout out, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." What more goodwill could God have towards men in providing a Saviour for the payment for their sins? In his mercy, mind you, undeserved of us. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6, and we read about the Lord Jesus Christ being manifest in the flesh at his birth. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6, "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world," which is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ himself, "he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him." And so they did. "And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows. And now, Lord, in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall fail not." Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." Showing again that the Lord Jesus Christ was very God himself, come to redeem his own creation from their sin. When I looked at this subject, as preachers often do, they might think, "Oh, there's not very much in this subject. But time and time again, we are corrected and rebuked. It's not the case. It's interesting when I think about the excitement, about the praise, about the overflowing joy of the angels in crying out, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all men. When you think about the history that the angels had with the Lord, we can see why the angels were of such joyful countenance. We read all the way back in Job and chapter 38, if you'd like to turn there with me. Job chapter 38 and reading from verse 1. And then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me." Where was thou, he's talking to Job, where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who has laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? And of course, the answer to all those questions is God did, and Job wasn't there. Verse 7, he says, "When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." The angels were there when the Lord laid the foundations of the earth. The angels were there as spectators, as you were in a stadium watching what God was doing. When God spoke the sun and the moon and the stars into existence. When God laid the foundations of the earth. When God created the vegetation, the animals, the water and the land. The angels were there. It says, when it talks about the sons of God, it's talking about the angels. It said, all the sons of God shouted for joy. The angels were there from the beginning of all of this. And they shouted for joy to see what God had made and what God had created. They were very much a part. God decided, God allowed that they would be very much a part of what God was doing on earth with his creation, which we are. Furthermore, we see in Genesis, we turn back to Genesis in chapter 3, where it all began. Well, it began in Genesis chapter 1, but Genesis chapter 3 is not far after it. We could still call it the beginning for sure. And the Lord God, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman that thou gavest me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shall thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And so we see this sad shift in history from the sons of God shouting for joy at the creation of everything wonderful that God's made to man at the fall, when Adam and Eve took of the fruit that the Lord commanded them not to eat, and sin entered in, and now that's the reason why we've got all the problems that we've got. That's the reason why we stand before God guilty now from the day that we're born. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes my children, they teach Sunday school, and especially with the little ones, they might say to me, "Oh, it's incredible how only at 2 years old they can just be so naughty." Of course, their brothers and sisters are never like that. They can just be so naughty. I said, "You know why? Because from the moment we're born sinners. We're born separated from God." People would teach that inherently children are good. They've obviously never had children. No, well, they have, but they're trying to think positive. They're trying to look on the bright side. And so we had this problem came in, and we see in verse 24 of Genesis chapter 3, "So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." And here again we see angels. We saw angels shouting for joy at creation. Now we see angels that God has put in place to guard the tree of life, lest sinful man eat of the tree of life and live forever. The Lord placed a cherubim, which is an angel, to guard the way. And so here we imagine that the angels weren't shouting for joy anymore. The angels were looking down and no doubt saying, what is this that's happened? This wonderful creation that God has made, and now look what's happened. This is a terrible thing. And so we see that the angel was put there to guard the place, lest the man go into the Garden of Eden and eat of the tree of life. We see in Acts chapter 7 when Stephen was talking to the Israelites and rebuking them about their disregard for the things of God. He said in Acts chapter 7 and verse 51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers?" And then he has this condemnation for them at the end, "who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." And so not only do we see the angels involved or there spectating at creation, they were there at the fall of man, seeing what was going on there. They were also there at Sinai when God was giving the law to the children of Israel. Now, it's a bit abstract maybe just from that verse which I've read where Stephen said, "who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." But we read in Psalm 68 and verse 17, "The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels, the Lord is among them, as in Sinai in the holy place." And there's other verses which allude to the fact that the angels were very much involved or very much there when God was giving the holy law of God to the children of Israel. Again, another monumental point in history. And so we see the angels involved in all these monumental things with which God interacts with men. At creation, at the fall of man, at the giving of the law. The angels were very much there. It's interesting when we look in Isaiah, if you'd like to turn there, Isaiah chapter 6, and we see a picture here which we don't see really anywhere else in Scripture apart from the book of Revelation. The prophet Isaiah has a vision, and it's interesting for us to take note of the nature of this thing that God allowed Isaiah to see. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, he says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims," angels again. "Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And imagine, can you imagine seeing this? It says that the pillars trembled at the voice of him that sat upon the throne, or the voice of him that cried. And so we see this holy window, or this window into heaven and into the glory of the angels around the throne of God, giving praise to God. It says in the book of Revelation that they cease not day and night to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And we think of the worship of the angels, and we think about the closeness of the angels to God, and we think about how much the angels have been involved in all these things, these dealings that God has with mankind. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 25. In Exodus chapter 25, again we see the angels who are described here as cherubim. We presume that a cherubim and a seraphim are different types of angels. A cherub, by the way, isn't a little naked baby-looking angel with a bow and arrow, with a scarf wrapped around his that you know flutters up the you know, as we see in pictures. A cherub, I'll remind you, is guarded the entrance to the Garden of Eden with a sword. Okay, now I wouldn't be very scared of a little baby, naked baby fluttering up in the garden, but I imagine it didn't look like that. But we see in Exodus chapter 25 that again, angels taking a very, very focal point or central point in the tabernacle. Now we looked at the tabernacle in brief this morning in Sunday school, and we understood that the tabernacle on earth is a copy of the tabernacle in heaven. Right, the actual tabernacle. The actual tabernacle isn't something that you can touch with your hands. The actual tabernacle is in heaven. And we see here as part of the tabernacle in Exodus 25 and verse 18 that the Lord says to Moses, "And thou shalt make two cherubims of gold. Of beaten work thou shalt make them in the two ends of the mercy seat." Now the mercy seat was the absolute central point of the whole tabernacle. That is where the high priest went and he offered the blood of the sacrifice as an atonement for the sins of the children of Israel once a year. And so here we see the angels again right there at the focal point of the tabernacle. And so not only were they there for creation, not only were they there for the fall, not only were they there for the giving of the law, they were there represented right at the focal point. They were watching as the high priest came in, not literally watching, but there were angels, images of angels sitting there watching as the high priest came in and offered the blood each year as a sacrifice for all the people. They were very aware of the need of mankind to be redeemed. And so it goes on to say in verse 19, "And make one cherub on the one end and the other cherub on the other end, even the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the two ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Towards the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel." So it really is quite amazing the part that angels play in God's agenda, in God's dealing with people, in God's dealing with the human race. In Psalm 91 and verse 9, we read, Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. We see here the care that God has regarding those that love him. And he says there in Psalm 91 and verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now this is the passage that Satan quoted to the Lord Jesus Christ after in the temptation in the wilderness to ask the Lord Jesus to cast himself down from the temple. And but we see here that the angels, it's their job, the Lord gives them the job of taking care of his children. It's interesting the things that we read about angels in the scripture. Also, if you want to turn with me in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10, the Lord Jesus talking here about... I'll just read the verse, Matthew 18, verse 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Interesting to think that angels are always before the throne of God, always looking at the face of God, always in the presence of God. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13, we read this already, but he talks about how, verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And it's interesting to see there that implies that for though the Lord knows who's going to be saved. The terminology there is those who shall be heirs of salvation. The angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be the heirs of salvation. So we see all of these different ministries that the angels have, how closely related they are to God and his work with mankind. We see the joy of the angels in Luke chapter 15 and verse 8 when the Lord Jesus talks about how much he loves to seek after those which are lost. How he came to seek and to save that which is lost. And that's the whole reason why we should even be looking at the birth of Christ today, is because the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ was born was not so that Santa could come and give kids presents. It was so that he might redeem mankind from the curse of the fall that resulted when Adam and Eve came and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the world would make it something else. The principalities would make it something else. But the reason why Christ was born was he was born to die for you and me. He talks about seeking and saving that which is lost in Luke chapter 15 and verse 8. He says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she has found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbours together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now if the angels of God rejoice, much rejoice, over one sinner being saved. You know, the day that I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the angels in heaven were rejoicing. The day you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the angels in heaven were rejoicing because a sinner had been saved, a sinner had come home. And it was no wonder that when the angels came to the shepherds and they were saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill to men, towards men. Because the Savior had come. Because God was manifest in the flesh to die for the sins of the whole world. If there wasn't a message to rejoice about, if there wasn't a message to, if that wasn't a message to shout out, then there never was a message to shout out. And so we can imagine the jubilation of the angels after seeing not only creation, not only the fall, not only the giving of the law, being involved in the tabernacle, being involved in the lives of those who would be heirs of salvation. Now when the Son of God, God Himself, manifest in the flesh to come and die for the sins of the whole world, that they were shouting for joy. Glory to God in the highest. The last place that we see angels mentioned in the Scripture, and it's in Revelation chapter 22. You want to turn with me to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now this is an angel that's showing John this. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And He said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things, and I heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see that thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And so we see here the angel quoting or speaking the words of the Lord Jesus, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now the Lord Jesus came once. He came to this earth. He was manifest in the flesh. He came to die for the sins of the world. When he comes again, he'll be coming as a judge. He'll be coming to judge all men's sin. And if we don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, if the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're not trusting in Him for the payment of our sin, then we will pay for our own. You know, the Lord talked about what it would be like in the days when He would come again. His disciples asked Him what it would be like. And basically what He did was He summarized the newspaper headlines from 2017. Probably for the last 50 years, really, maybe 100. But, you know, you wonder how much worse it can get, how much more people can go against God, how much more people can take the natural order of things, the way that God has created them and intended them, and pervert them and twist them. Like that, like even this whole thing of marriage and trying to break down the family. You know that society or it seems the institution is trying its best to break down the family unit. And if the family unit's broken, society is broken. You wonder how much more it can go on, how much worse it can get. So we see the angels at creation. We see the angels at the fall. We see the angels in the tabernacle at the giving of the law. We see the angels at the birth of Christ rejoicing. And the angels will be coming back with the Lord Jesus Christ, not as Saviour, but as Judge. Will you be ready? Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we hear some wonderful things this morning. Lord, we also hear some solemn things for those who are still outside the household of God. Lord, it's not that those that are inside the household of God are any better than those that are outside, but Lord, only that they've realized how bad they really are. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you helped us through your word to realize, Lord, how lost we are. Lord, how sick we are. Lord, how hopeless we are. And that the Lord Jesus Christ provided a way of salvation. Lord, we thank you that there was a day when the angels proclaimed the birth of the Lord Jesus, the Saviour of all the world. We thank you there was a day when you revealed the truth to us. And we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful salvation. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here that's still outside of Christ, that, Lord, would be trusting in anything other than Christ. It may be in their intellect, maybe in their abilities, maybe in what they think they can do to please you. Lord, I pray that you would show them that it's all just a house of cards. There is none other name named under heaven whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Not a way, but the way. Lord, burn it into our hearts today. Lord, do the work that only your Holy Spirit can do. And Lord, we pray that your will be done. We ask in Jesus' name.